The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We're previewing the Indiana-Ohio State game coming up on Saturday. The game kicks off at 3:30. It will be televised on ESPN, so check your local listings for that. Set your DVRs, whatever you need to do to catch the game. And we'll be joined by TJ Inman here shortly. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. We're going to go over a little bit of fun news coming out of Bloomington with the launch of the new uniforms for Nebraska next week. We'll touch on that a little bit. But mostly we're going to focus on Ohio State coming up on Saturday. TJ, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Sammy. It's a little bit of an odd week because it's a game that, coming off of a win over Michigan State, super pumped to see Indiana play again and continue that momentum, but it is a little bit hard to quantify what exactly that looks like against Ohio State, who, to be frank, has been the best team in the country so far this year. Now, have they played the best competition? No. I mean, Rutgers is a mess right now offensively. Bowling Green, their program has fallen apart, really. Tulsa, has just not been quite what people thought they were going to be coming into the season. And Oklahoma, going there and winning is extremely impressive, no matter what you think of the Sooners. So, you can take the competition level for whatever you want, but Ohio State's been really, really good, and it's a tall task for Indiana to even, have a chance in the fourth quarter of this game on Saturday. So it's kind of an odd one to prepare for, and but I am anxious to see how Indiana stacks up against a team as good as Ohio State and whether or not necessarily the outcome of the game, but the kind of performance that they can put together if they can have another good performance after playing well on Saturday. That'll tell me a lot about this team's ability to handle the success that they've had.
Yeah, and that's, exactly right. Also, another thing, and this is more of a personal and probably from the fan side, two out of the four Ohio State games have been delayed. If we could avoid that, that'd be awesome. But that's something that, nobody can control other than maybe a stadium builder if you put a roof on Ohio Stadium. But, it is a tall task. It's Indiana's never won back-to-back weeks against ranked opponents, at least through my research. If it's changed, tweet me and let me know. But in 1987, they did beat a ranked Ohio State team at the Horseshoe. Played Minnesota in between, won that game, and then the next week after Minnesota beat a ranked Michigan team at home. So they have knocked off two consecutive ranked teams that they've played. Again, you can't control, whether or not a team is ranked when you play them. It's been a while since that has happened. And you're right, TJ, something, you've got after this, you've got seven games left. A lot of season to go. So, want to see a good effort. You want to see the lack of a hangover from the win from Michigan State. It's how does IU handle success, and that does not necessarily mean going into Columbus and beating the Buckeyes, but going into Columbus, putting on your best effort. Playing your A-plus game and giving you a shot to win. And finally, just getting out of there healthy. Year's Ohio State game, you saw Nate Sudfeld and Jordan Howard go down, and that really affected the next two games. Penn State, especially when you didn't have Nate or Jordan, and that game, if you had both of them, it's a 29-7 game with IU playing their third string quarterback for you know, most of the second half, if not all of it. And, you know, who knows if you have Jordan Nate, maybe, you know, the defense doesn't run out of gas because the offense can put drives together, and that game could end up as a win. And then I think Rutgers was the next game, and I believe that, you know, if you had Jordan Howard that game, that's a win. It's, you know, the IU became one-dimensional in that game and didn't run the ball in the second half and couldn't kill the clock up by 20-whatever points they were with 17 minutes to go. So going in, playing your best ball, you know, and letting the chips fall where they might and getting out of there healthy. And Wilson had a great quote after – either after the game or on Monday, is that they just wanted to get to the fourth quarter with a shot to win. And I think that's how they're going to play again this week, in terms of just if you get us to the fourth quarter with a shot to win, we trust our guys to get the job done. And that's where they were last year against Ohio State. And even the year before that, when Tevin absolutely had a fantastic game. So they played the Buckeyes well. They're not going to be scared of Ohio State. And you know what? Ohio State's not going to take this team easily either. I think, you know, Indiana's earned their respect with the way they've played since Kevin Wilson has been on campus. And, you know, they know if they take IU easily, it's a game that they can lose. It's, you know, Ohio State's very, very good. I think, TJ, you found the stat that they're outscoring opponents at home 61-4. So anytime you could do that, it's impressive.
On average.
Doesn't matter.
On average.
You know, it still doesn't matter who you play. That's very impressive. So let's go into some of the keys of the game. TJ, what's your first key to the game?
The first one for me is going to be slowing the run. Ohio State is right now, you could make an argument they're the best rushing team in the country. They've got a lot of capable runners, but as a team, they're averaging 332 yards per game, third nationally. The two teams ahead of them are kind of gimmicky option teams, which, you know, that doesn't mean they're not great rushing teams, but Ohio State more of a traditional rushing attack, and they appear to be the best in the country at it. Incredibly efficient. They have not had a ton of huge rushes. It's just they are gaining kind of, you know, 6-7 yard chunks every time they take the ball. They've had the fewest runs stuffed in the entire country, which means that they are getting positive yards every single time, with the exception of, I think that they're having like 2% or 4%, something like that, of their runs stuffed, which is an incredible number. And that'll drop as the season goes on. It's still a fairly small sample size for this stuff, but there's no doubt that they're a great running team. Mike Weber is the leading rusher. Urban Meyer's compared him to Carlos Hyde more than Ezekiel Elliott, so a bit more of a banger. And, you know, he's noted that he falls forward every time he gets the ball. So even if, when you tackle him, he's still falling forward for 2 or 3 additional yards, which makes a huge difference talking about getting them into third and long situations, which Bill Connolly of SB Nation, really a tremendous writer on college football, he pointed out that Ohio State's quote-unquote weakness might be third and medium to third and long passing situations. They're not exceptionally good at that, and they don't have a ton of proven options at wide receiver, but the trick is going to be getting them into those situations because the running game's so good. You know, outside of just Mike Weber, you've got Curtis Samuel, who leads the Big Ten in all-purpose yards. They look to give him the ball in all kinds of situations. He'll get handoffs, he'll get sweeps, he'll get screen passes, he'll get, you know, lined up as a traditional receiver. They're going to get him the ball however they can, and part of that's in the running game. He's averaging over 8 yards a carry. And then JT Barrett, obviously not a slouch running the ball either. He leads the team in rushing touchdowns. So it's going to be very difficult for Indiana to run so far, much better than I thought they'd be at this point in the season against the run. giving up only 140 yards per game, but this is definitely the toughest test of a running game that they're going to see all season.
Definitely. And, you know, you go back to Curtis Samuel. I think he's awesome. He's an awesome player. But
yeah,
I think IU, you know, saw a little bit of that with RJ Shelton this past weekend, where Michigan State used him at wide as a traditional receiver, saw him get the shovel pass on the jet sweep action, stuff like that. So hopefully that, you know, prepares defenders to defend a guy like Curtis Samuel. Now, Curtis Samuel's a much better all around player than RJ Shelton, but Shelton's still pretty darn good and used in a lot of the same ways. TJ, my first key to the game is red zone scoring. Ohio State is a ridiculous 21 of 23 in the red zone. I believe there are two stops. One came last week on downs, and the other one came at the end of the half against Oklahoma. They score a lot of touchdowns down there, and it's going to be tough to stop them. But on the flip side, Indiana has to do a better job of getting points in the red zone. We've all seen the struggles that that Indiana has had. They, you know, you saw it last week, and they still pulled out a victory where they did not look good in the red zone. They missed a couple kicks. They overshot a pass on fourth down, and things like that. Those are the plays that IU will need to have. They cannot miss field goals like they did against Michigan State. They cannot afford to miss fourth and twos or third and twos inside the opponent's 5-yard line. Right now, Indiana's 9 of 14 in the red zone. Ohio State's 21 of 23. 17 of those Ohio State point scoring opportunities are touchdowns, while only 6 for Indiana. So Ohio State, if Indiana can hold them to field goals or keep them out of the red zone, that would be tremendous. But when Indiana gets into the red zone, they need to take advantage. They need to get something going, because even 9 of 14, you're still missing five scoring opportunities, where even if you get 3 points, I know you're leaving 4 on the field, but even when you're getting 3, you're still – got something to show for your offensive drives. And that would have been huge last week against Michigan State. And it's going to be huge to keep this team in the game and fighting until the end. It's just get points when you can. TJ, any other keys to the game?
Yeah. I mean, I'll comment on the red zone. I do think that we are going to see quite a bit. This is what I'm hoping for. I think we're going to see quite a bit of Tyler Natee in the red zone this week, and that's what I'm hoping for, and I'm hoping it's effective, because I do think can be a really good red zone option for Indiana, particularly short yardage situations. I know that they tried him with the pass, and I'm sure we'll see that at some point again this season.
Yeah,
and
I don't
sure
think
we'll
it was
see.
That bad of a play call. I mean, everybody's killing
no,
him.
No, I don't either.
But
no.
Redding was wide open.
They got good penetration on that.
It was
Michigan
maybe,
State read it well. They got good penetration on it.
Good penetration.
He's
a true freshman. His mind is going a million miles an hour, and he rushed the throw. You'll definitely see that play again. I don't think it's one where you, just throw it out like the Eric Toth fake punt last year, which was actually blocked well. But it's one of those things that you're going to see again. Continue.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think you'll see more direct snap to him. I think you'll see him. I think he's going to be a big part of the red zone package that Indiana has. And I'm hoping to see how effective that can be on Saturday. Hopefully Indiana gets lots of red zone opportunities so we can see that. Ohio State has not given up very many of those this season, so it'd be a good sign if Indiana was able to get into the red zone often. think we'll see more of that. And I would not mind seeing some targets go to the tight ends in the red zone. We have really not seen that at all. Ian Thomas did get targeted by Nati on that play, but he didn't have a chance to make a play on the ball. And we've seen very little action towards Danny Friend or Austin Doris or Ian Thomas in other situations. So I wouldn't mind seeing them get an opportunity to make some plays in the red zone as well, especially without Simi Cobbs. You're down a big target as a wide receiver. Nick Westbrook has proven to be, you know, a star in the making, but I think those bigger targets with the tight ends could be a good option this week as well. But another key to the game for me is going to be, you know, being careful of this Ohio State secondary. I think it is the strength of their defense right now. They have not gotten an incredibly good pass rush. They do have some good ends. They've got Joey Bosa's younger brother, and they have Tyquan Lewis, and they've got Hubbard. They've got some good pass rushers, but no one that has proven to be a game wrecker yet. Their game wreckers are in the secondary. They have a pair of guys, Marshawn Lattimore and Malik Hooker, that have been tremendous thus far, combined for 12 passes deflected, 6 pass breakups, and combined for 6 interceptions. Each of them have 3. And that's, you know, through 4 games, and they have not played the entire game in a couple of those blowouts. So you're really looking at probably about 180 minutes of game time that they've been out there competing. And I mean, Hooker also has 1.5 tackles for loss, and he tackles. Ohio State had to replace a lot in that secondary, and the guys that have stepped up are Hooker and Lattimore, and they've. Indiana, you know, I know that Legault, for the most part, has done a good job of taking care of the ball, but if Ohio State is able to force him into any kind of mistake, they're probably going to capitalize on it because that secondary, that's what they've done so far, 11 turnovers total, and 6 of those came in one game, but still, it's a very dangerous secondary. They call themselves the Silver Bullets. That defense does. And there's a reason for it. It's because they're really fast. And when they get a chance to make a play, they typically do. So that's going to be really important for Indiana to take care of the ball, not make any critical mistakes. Because if you do, with Ohio State is going to drop a potential interception or miss out on an opportunity to make a play. And if you let them start going downhill on you to where you have to be one-dimensional to try to get back into a game, you don't have a chance. So that's my second key to the game is, you know, taking care of the ball, especially being really careful with that secondary.
Yeah, that secondary, it's one of our matchups. It's our matchup to watch, actually, from Alex Compton's IU's receivers against the OSU secondary. And what it's going to come down to is, you know, can these receivers make competitive plays against a very aggressive secondary? And can Richard Lego not, you know, have that hiccup of a throw? There was one or two throws against Wake Forest and then the one throw against Michigan State in the end zone. You know, he doesn't need to complete 100% of his passes, but if you don't see anybody open, it might not be the best idea to try and fit the ball into the tight window and just either scramble or throw the ball away and live to play another down. But these receivers for IU need to make competitive plays on the ball. They're going to have to come back and get hands on the ball and, you know, get that reception and earn it, TJ. But, you know, also to note that 4 of these interceptions have been returned for touchdowns. So, you know, you can't give away the ball, especially on the road at a place like Ohio State. And, you know, yeah. the offense is going to have to take care of the ball. And then, you know, on the flip side, you'd like to see Indiana take the ball away a couple of times. You know, JT Barrett only has two interceptions, but I was watching the Bowling Green game again, and there are a couple times where Bowling Green defenders drop picks. And I think Matt Millen was doing that game. He's talking about a hitch in JT Barrett's throw, where if you disguise the defense in a certain way and show blitz, but back into coverage, he has a tendency to kind of double clutch and get in trouble that way. So, you know, they're not invincible. No team in college football is invincible. But it's going to be very, very difficult to knock this team off. And IU is going to have to play a perfect game. And that's, you know, it's not –
And get some help.
Yeah, and get some help. You're going to have to probably have Ohio State play. You know, they can't play – if they both teams play their A game, Ohio State's going to win. If IU plays their A game and Ohio State plays their B game, maybe a B-minus game, IU has a real shot to going in there and knocking them off. I think, you know, this is the best team they've played at home all year. You know, Rutgers didn't do much, and they're missing their best player. So I think, yeah. you know, if you're a betting man, I think that 29-point spread looks real juicy to take the points with IU. But, you know, it's a game that can get out of hand quickly. And you could see it with one of the things was Ohio State has scored a lot of points right before halftime. And you see it in the NFL with the Patriots and Bill Belichick, where they'll defer to the second half. And then all of a sudden your team's in the game. You have to punt it with a minute and a half left in the half. They go right down the field, score a field goal, score a touchdown, and then take the ball in the second half, score more points. And all of a sudden, a 7-point game turns into a 20-point game or a 14-point game, something like that. So I think, you know, that the final key of the game is, you know, those last few minutes of the half, gotta shut them down. You gotta keep them off the board, and then keep it going through the second half. If you let Ohio State score right before the half, and if they get the ball after halftime, right after halftime, and let them score, this game will get out of hand quickly, and might not be fun to watch. So that's my take on the game. Anything
yeah.
else?
And that's not only on the defense either. That the offense is going to play a role in that too. You know, if you're extending your drives by converting third downs, obviously it keeps Ohio State's offense off the field, but it's particularly important in those end of half situations where, you know, if you have a chance to stay on the field, you need to take it, as opposed to punting, like you said, to Ohio State with a minute and 30 or 2 minutes left and giving them a chance to tear down the field quickly. If they have a chance to, odds are they probably will. They'll take advantage of it. They have so far. No reason to think that'll stop. So that's on both the defense and the offense to manage the game really well to give yourself a chance to execute and be in the game at the end of it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, what was encouraging last week was that IU, I thought, managed the game very well. It was maybe a little conservative, but it kept them in the game, kept them alive, and then they had that second half offensive explosion. So hopefully, you know, this doesn't get out of hand too quickly. If, you know, like any underdog coming into a game against number two team in the country like this, the longer you stay competitive in the game, the more belief you have. You have to win the game. And you've seen it. It's kind of cliche. But, you know, if Ohio State does not put this team out, you know, out of it early, Indiana's going to stick with them. And now they've gotten over the hill. They, you know, as we said on Monday, they changed the headline. The headline on Saturday could have been the Hoosiers blow it again, lose brass platoon in overtime. You know, here we go again. Season's over. They changed it. It was, you know, monumental win, Hoosiers, you know, shock Spartans, stuff like that. They've gotten over that hill. They know they could do it now. The evidence is there. And so, you know, if you have another game where it comes down to a first and goal to tie the game or to win the game, IU has the self-belief now that they could do it. And they have they have done it, and they have the evidence that they've done it. So, you know, if I'm an Ohio State fan, I'm a little nervous going into this one in terms of Indiana's given us the last couple of years. And if they start leaving Indiana around in this game, they're going to be on pins and needles in the horseshoe next week.
That's possible. Yeah, it is possible. I think that the win percentage heading into this on ESPN, so
2.3%.
Okay, well, you know, like what Christmas said, you're saying there's a chance. So, yeah, I'm saying there is a chance. It's a very small one. Like I said at the start of the podcast, what I'm looking for is for a good performance. You know, a performance that, you know, the defense gets some stops, makes some things happen, make Ohio State's offense a little uncomfortable at times. For the offense to, you know, do something that the other offenses haven't done against Ohio State yet this year and give their defense a little bit of adversity. You know, I'm just hoping Indiana can put some actual game pressure on Ohio State. It's something they haven't really had yet. They jumped out to lead on Oklahoma, and we're never really threatening that one either. So they haven't really dealt with any game pressure. So I'm hoping Indiana can do that and, you know, stay healthy and get to Nebraska with. And the significance of that win over Michigan State is not going to be erased by anything that happens on Saturday in Columbus. That being said, Indiana can continue.
It shouldn't be erased by anything that'll happen in Columbus. Will fans freak out? Maybe, because they're fans. But you're right in terms of there's logically nothing you could do on the field in terms of a loss. I mean, they could lose 100-0. I would still feel good about this team going to next week.
Yeah. Ohio State, if that's what happened, then I think the narrative should be Ohio State's incredible, not, Indiana's win over Michigan State was just a total fluke. No, I don't think that's the case. That being said, you would feel even better about the rest of the season, which really there's only one more game like this Ohio State game, and I don't think that it matches what Indiana's up against with Ohio State either. It's at Michigan, and Michigan has not looked as good as Ohio State has. So there's only one more game like that, and the rest of the way you're dealing with either games where you're favored or I think relative toss-ups and then a big underdog at Michigan. So for me, just a good performance is going to make me feel that much better about how, you know, we line up against Nebraska for homecoming October 15th. So, you know, like you said, stay healthy, be competitive, put a good performance together. You know, you do those things, you give yourself a chance in the second half, and that's all you can ask for.
Yep. TJ, but before we get into predictions, I want to talk a little bit about uniforms.
Sure.
It was announced today that Indiana would have a new uniform for the Nebraska game. It's going to incorporate the candy stripes that were, you know, brought to IU by Doc Councilman and Hobie Billingsley with the swim team, and then made famous by, you know, Bob Knight and the basketball team. What are your first impressions?
Well, I didn't know about it. You texted me and with a, you know, candy stripe uniforms, and I was like, what, you know, because everybody has probably seen the images floating around of what a candy stripe uniform would look like, especially when Indiana broke out those new helmets. Like, you know, is this what's next? And it was, you know, pretty garish, like just candy stripe on the entire uniform, and I was like, oh no, please don't let that be the case, because the renderings were pretty ugly. But then go to the photo gallery on IU Hoosiers website, and they've tweeted out pics as well. You've tweeted out some stuff also, and honestly, I think they look pretty good. I think they're tasteful. Adidas alternate uniforms are really hit or miss, mostly miss, if I'm honest. But I think these look pretty good. And I think having kind of a, I think a one-off once a season is a good idea. You know, it's something that, that the players will get excited about. Recruits, I guess, like this kind of thing. So that's great. And I fans will, you know, add a little extra buzz for that homecoming game to see how they look on the field. But I don't think they overdid it with the candy stripes. They're just kind of a nod to them, really. And I think the white pants with the script Indiana on it looks great. Very clean look, in my opinion. I'm not crazy about the helmets not having any type of logo on them. It's just numbers. I don't love that, but you know, there's kind of state flag rendering stuff in the background on the uniforms. Pretty simple chest marking with the IU logo, just centered on the chest right above the numbers, and then, you know, just the candy stripe knot on the shoulders. Overall, I think Indiana and Adidas that combined to be responsible for this, I think it looks nice, and I love the look of the white pants with the red script and the red socks. I think overall it looks pretty good, and it sure could have been a heck of a lot worse. So if this is something you're going to do, a one-off per season is a different look, one-off per season, I'm good with this, this year's edition of it. For the homecoming game, which makes perfect sense, really.
Yeah, it does. And I, you know what, when I saw the tweet come out, I had just seen the top of the uniform, and I was like, oh,
right.
Uh-oh, here we go. Just like you, but you know, after looking at the pictures, I think it's a good look. And you know, I know Nick is going to be happy because they match the fonts on the numbers on the jerseys and the numbers on the helmets. So they fixed a lot of the things that, you know, were wrong with the having the numbers on the helmets and the jerseys from last year. But it's a nice look for them. It kind of separates them from the rest of the Adidas schools in the Big Ten, where, you know, it kind of, if you saw Nebraska play Northwestern, Nebraska had those ice uniforms as well, and they look exactly like Indiana, except for the red end on the helmet. It looked cookie cutter, and, you know, we're going to do this for every team. But I think Adidas did a great job here, and whoever worked with IU football into, you know, not making them all candy stripe. You know, maybe, you know, people want to see, you know, people have tweeted at me that they wanted to see candy striped socks. I like the subtle nod to it on the shoulders. It's something that, you know, to me, the candy stripes are a basketball tradition. And, you know, you want to, I get combining the traditions and making a school tradition, but it is a basketball tradition, and it's okay to have separate traditions. But this is a nod to it. I like that. And I like that it could, you know, the overall feedback I've gotten from it is great. It looks like the helmet is chrome-ish. I can't tell from the pictures 100%. You know, we'll see what it looks like under the lights. At a 3:30 game against Nebraska, that's going to be on national TV on ABC. And so this, I don't know if that played into it, or if they had something like this just geared up, ready to go already, but it's a sharp look. I the pants are great. I love the script Indiana as well, TJ, and the Red Sox are sharp. So, you know, we'll see. Look, my attitude is, look, if they win, they're great uniforms. If they lose, they're trash and you could burn them. so, you know, it's all about, you know, if you feel good, you play good. Hopefully the players, you know, look good, feel good, play good. And We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. I think the uniforms this week, TJ, are going to be the all white, tops and bottoms with the two-tone helmet, probably with the state flag.
Okay. I mean, I wish they wouldn't wear the state flag for out-of-state games. We talked about that, but all white is what it's going to be for sure, since, you know, Ohio State's the scarlet and gray at home. So the all white, which I don't mind that at all. It's a good look, but I will say just a very quick uniform rant on Oregon. What they are doing is really ridiculous. They have they're now wearing a different uniform every week, not just different colors. They're wearing like totally different schemes every week, complete with Adobe Spark presentations that look really sleek, and they're, you know, explaining the tradition and the history behind why they're wearing what they're wearing. And this week they are wearing a navy and yellow, colors of another Pac-12 team in Cal, navy and yellow with a beaver on, you know, part of their state flag has a beaver on it. And they're wearing these state flag things. And I mean, you would have no clue that they were Oregon. You would have no clue. So what I like about, I use alternate uniforms, you can still tell they're Indiana.
Yes.
Which is important to me. I think when schools go alternate uniforms and you have to kind of, you know, do a double take to find out who exactly they're representing.
Yeah, when you have to check the info button on the TV to see who's playing,
right,
it's
like
not
who's
good.
Playing. Yeah, right. And you can still tell these are Indiana, so I'm pleased about that.
Yep. All right, prediction time, TJ. What's your prediction for Saturday?
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go with the Buckeyes to win. No surprise there. I do think Indiana will be closer than what that spread has it. And I'll go with Ohio State. I think Indiana does do a little better defensively than most teams have done against Ohio State, but I don't want whatever Ohio State does offensively to have people saying, oh, see, Indiana's defense still sucks. No, Ohio State's going to wreck people all year with their offense. It will say nothing negative about Indiana's defense if Ohio State has a big day. Like, the Buckeyes will have a pretty big day, but Indiana will force them to a couple field goals. So I'm going to go with a 45 for Ohio State and a 24 for Indiana. So Indiana to get within 21 and find a way to get 24 points. Will some of that be late to make it look a tad bit closer than it was? I don't know, but I do think Indiana is at least somewhat competitive on Saturday. I don't think Ohio State fans will be sweating, but I think Indiana will account themselves fairly well.
Well, I had the same exact score prediction, so I agree. I think something along the lines of 45, you know, 45-24 or 45-28, something around
something
there.
Like
I
20
use,
to 28, yeah.
Yeah, between there. You're right. I think I see IU holding them to field goals. I don't think Ohio State's going to be uber aggressive in the red zone going for it on fourth downs. And this, you know, as good as Rutgers defense was, they had no offense, and all of that. And, you know, this Ohio State team is very, very good. So
yep.
I think, you know, 45-24, it covers the spread. I think the game's close and Ohio State pulls away late. But you know, who knows, anything could happen. In the college football, but well, I'll go on record with you. I agree with you. 45-24 is my official prediction, and you know, hopefully there are no injuries, and you could get out out of Columbus clean and go on to the rest of your season.
Yeah, and I'd love to see Dan Feeney back out there. We know Dimitri Camille is going to be out. Possibly
he
for
might
the rest
be out.
Of the season. But,
yeah, he had back
be.
Surgery with a bulging
right.
disc. Wilson mentioned his season is in jeopardy. So
yeah.
usually you can't get a straight answer out of Wilson about injuries. But hopefully Feeney's back. Hopefully Cole
Guest
is back.
That. Yep.
You know, even without Feeney, this offensive line has played pretty well. And we'll see what they do. And you know, it's a 3:30 kick. It's on ESPN. A lot of eyeballs will be on Indiana, which is good. But it's one game, and you know, as close as we played them last year, that one game became two losses, which became more losses. Became six losses. So you know, it's one game, and if IU ends up losing, you know, by 35 points, just flush it and move on to the next one. I think that staff has been pretty good at doing that. And you know, we'll see. Maybe we'll see a little Diamant sprinkled into the offense in terms of gadget plays. If this is, you know, if you're going to open up the playbook, this is the game to do it. This is the game to put things on tape for others to prepare for. You know, you may be able to get some, I don't want to call it cheap, but, you know, cheap points in terms of plays. And Xander has played some of his best ball against Ohio State in his career. So maybe there's something going on there. Maybe you see him come in a special package maybe continue to see what Ken Bykoff is calling the big lunch bunch with Nate and Clyde Newton. So that will do it for the show. TJ, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy Saturday. And we'll talk on Monday.
Absolutely. Yep. Always a pleasure to be on. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
All right. That does it for our IU-OSU pregame show. Thanks for joining us. We'll be live from Columbus on Saturday. So follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. We have plenty of content on this game, keys to the game, matchup to watch. We'll have our primer out on Friday. And enjoy the rest of your day.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey, and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.